Good morning. Who's ready for Sunday school? All right, lots of people ready for Sunday school. Let's start Sunday school with a hymn. Who has one they want to sing? We got lots of volunteers. What number would you like to sing? 15. Do you know the words for 15? Okay. We'll sing one verse of number 15. Oh, blessed gospel sound, yet there is a note. It tells through all around, yet there is a note. The guilty may draw near, though while they need not fear, say it again, please. Walk and wash away my sins. Thank you. We're going to sing all of this song, number 32. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood. We started out singing number 15, O Blessed Gospel Sound. Last night, many of us were here in a gospel meeting about salvation. And this is a continuation, in a sense, of that gospel meeting. But it's really, really aimed at children. But you know, the amazing thing is that if an adult wants to get into the kingdom of heaven, they have to become like little children So this is a gospel meeting that everybody can listen to. And if we make it simple enough for you children, then even the adults can understand and come to trust the Lord Jesus as their own personal Lord and Savior. Now, what was the song we were just singing? I'll get it for you. What was the song we were just singing? It had a question in it. What was it? Yeah, that's the answer. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What was the question? Thank you. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. So that is important to remember. It's important to know. And what I want to do right now is ask the Lord Jesus to help me present the gospel message. Okay? Lord Jesus, I just come to you this morning. Ask for your help to make this gospel message clear and simple. Just pray for thy blessing on each child and adult, teenager that's listening this morning. That if any one of them is not a believer in you, Lord Jesus, that this morning they would accept you as their Lord and Savior, have their sins washed away like this song that we've just been singing. Lord Jesus, what can wash away our sins? Nothing but your blood. Thank you for this and ask for thy help and blessing this morning. Amen. All right. Let's sing one more song. What would you like to sing? 39. All right. You said 39, right? This is an important song. It's not a big part of what I want to talk about, but it's something that you really need to understand, that Jesus is a friend. He's a real friend. He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. So let's sing number 39.
What a friend we have in Jesus.
Thank you.
Well, today I have some things to help me. I'm going to learn some lessons from some ropes, otherwise known as cords. And I got a big yellow rope here. And I got some blue rope. See my blue rope? It's a nice blue rope. And I have some white rope that I have. Nice white rope. You want to feel my white rope? Feels nice, eh? Yeah. And that's almost string, right? That's real cord. Yeah. And then I have some that some of the people that like to sew would recognize. What's that? Is that thread? That's thread. That's right. So we'll get to that later. But right now, to start with, I need to explain the gospel to you. We're already singing, "What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus." I want to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And we'll read verses 3 and 4. I need some help to read those verses. I think I have a volunteer already. Thank you. Did your hand come up? Can you read verses 3 and 4, please, of 1 Corinthians 15?
For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures.
Thank you very much. Now I want to all say together the last part of verse 3 and the first part of verse 4. I'll say it first and then we'll say it again. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures and was buried and was raised again according to the Scriptures. Okay, you ready? Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures and was buried and was raised again according to the Scriptures. Why did Jesus die? You know?
To wash away their sins away.
Exactly. He died for our sins. After He died, what did they do to Him? What did that verse say? They took Him down from the cross, and where did they put Him? Thank you.
They buried Him.
Thank you very much. They buried Him. They rolled a stone in front of the door. And then what happened to Him next? What did that thing say? What did it say?
He rose again on the third day.
He rose again on the third day. According to what? I have another person that knows here.
Scriptures.
According to the Scriptures. And that's so important. It was written down. All those things that Christ would suffer. Suffer for our sins. He would die for our sins. He would be buried. And then the amazing good news of the gospel. He was raised from the dead. According to the
Scriptures.
Excellent. According to the Scriptures. I'm just going to put this back here for a second. So that's important to remember. That's the gospel message that we believe. That Jesus died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried. He was raised again the third day according to the Scriptures. Why is that important? We're going to learn some lessons from the ropes. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 5. Proverbs chapter 5. And is there somebody that wants to read Proverbs chapter 5, verses 22 and 23? Okay. Go ahead.
His own iniquity shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sin. He shall die without instruction, and in the greatness of his folly he shall go astray.
Okay. Was there a part in there about cords?
Yeah.
What did it say about cords? He shall be holden with
the cords of his hands?
The cords of his sins. All right. This is very, very solemn. This is why the Lord Jesus came into this world, because this is a big, powerful cord. It's a rope. And I think there's some boys that are pretty strong in the room here. Any one of you think you can take this rope with your two hands and just kind of break it right in half? All the boys are saying no. Any of the girls think you could just break it right in half by pulling on it? Well, some of you would know Uncle James. He's my son. He's got this nice big four-wheel drive truck. And we tied part of this rope to an apple tree trunk. And we tied the other part to his truck. And we put his truck on the pavement. And we put it in low four-wheel drive. And he stepped on the gas till all four wheels were spinning on the pavement. And the apple tree trunk started to move. But the rope, this rope, didn't break. Now I ask you a question. A man will be holding with the cords of his sins. Do you think if we tied somebody up with this rope and tied them real tight, that they would ever be able to break this rope when it was all wrapped around them? Lydia says no with her head. And you know what? I think she's right. But we have another problem. We need to read another verse. In Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2. Who would like to read Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1? It's got a big word in it. All right. I'll let you read it.
Paul, an apostle of
Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1.
And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins.
Dead? In trespasses and sins? Thank you very much. I thought a man would be held by the cords of his sins. What does this mean? If we tied up a dead man, would he be able to escape? Okay, I need to get a permanent record of the answer. Paul, you are being very emphatic. Would a dead man be able to escape if we tied him up with that big yellow rope?
No.
Definitely not. Would he try to escape? What do you think?
Yeah.
You think a dead man would try to escape?
No.
No. Not at all. So there's two problems. The man will be holden by the cords of his sins, and dead, he's not even going to try. Now here's the good news of the gospel. John chapter 20, verse 31. You all found it? John chapter 20, verse 31. You want to read badly, don't you? So you gave me a good answer before. I'll let you read this verse. John 20, verse 31.
And these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is Christ, the Son of God, and ye, and that believing ye might have life through His name.
Thank you very much. How does a person get life? That verse just told us. How does a person get life? By believing in who?
The Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. That's right. You get life by believing that Jesus is the Son of God. And let's say it together. That Christ died for our sins. And He was buried. And He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That's what's so important. Believing that, and the Lord Jesus gives you life. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Now let's turn over to John chapter 8. Who can quote John chapter 3, verse 16 to me? John chapter 3, verse 16.
For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
John 3:16. Thank you. Very good. Another one to say that verse.
John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16.
Very good. Thank you. What's the name of God's Son? What's the name of God's Son?
Jesus.
What's His whole name? Thank you, Abby. What's His full name? Everything. His titles, everything. I'm looking for three words go together. One of them is Jesus. Nobody's 100% sure. You want to try?
Jesus, God, and the Holy Spirit.
So Jesus, God, and the Holy Spirit is an interesting answer. They all work together for our salvation. What's the full name of Jesus? What do we call Him when we give Him all His titles? All right, somebody really wants to answer this time. Thanks, Robert.
Lord Jesus Christ.
Lord Jesus Christ. Exactly. Thank you. Now, John chapter 8 and verse 36, who has it? And wants to read it. John 8 verse 36. John chapter 8 verse 36.
If the Son therefore shall make you free, forever, but the Son abideth ever.
So let's read it again.
Wait, what?
Can you read it again, please?
If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed.
Excellent. Thank you very, very much. You know what? The Son gives us life. The Lord Jesus Christ gives us life when we believe in His name. What else can He do? Remember, we had a dead man. He wasn't even trying to get free from the big yellow rope. Whatever else, he was tied up the cords of his sins. The Lord Jesus can give that man life. And what did that verse just say? He can set him free. If the Son will make him free, he shall be free indeed. Is that right? That's exactly right. Freedom. The Lord Jesus can give you freedom, and He gives you life. Both the things you need in order to be saved. Well, Acts 10:43 tells us that anybody that believes in the Lord Jesus receives remission of sins. Their sins are gone. And how does that happen? How do we wash our sins away? How do we get them washed away? We sang an important song together. What was it? How about I sing the question and you sing the answer? What can wash away my sins? Excellent. Thank you very much. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. He sets us free. He gives us life. That's the good news of the gospel. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, you ever heard of a man named Samson? Here's my blue rope. Remember, we started off with, a man shall be held with the cords of his, what? Paul? Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Man shall be held with the cord of his sin. Samson, remember, there's a lady named Delilah. Samson and Delilah, you've probably heard that story. She tried different kinds of ropes on Samson. And that's what the devil does and the world does with all of us people. Trying different kinds of ropes. And I have this string here. And what they did with Samson was you try red thread. And maybe when I try red thread, you're not interested in it. And this is like a sin. A certain kind of sin that you might like. And it's suggested to you, and you like it. Maybe you don't like it. Do you like red? Do you like red? Okay. So what the devil does is, you like this sin? And if you're not interested, then he gets the world and... Do you like blue? Do you like blue? Yeah. Okay, so she likes blue. So the devil gets out of sin. Now maybe the first sin was lying. And maybe Jenna doesn't like to lie. So the devil tries a different one. And he gets out one that looks like getting mad at your brother. And if you won't tell a lie, then maybe you'll get mad at your brother. And lose your temper and get angry. So the devil uses all different things and he tries all different things to try and get you in trouble, get you sinning. Because he knows that verse too. A man or a boy or a girl will be holden with the cords of their sins. Let's have everybody say it together. Man shall be holden with the cords of their sins. So there they are. I'm using these different threads to represent different sins. And you think about Samson. Delilah bothered him and bothered him. She tried one kind of rope on him and another kind of rope. And then she tried some other things. How many times did she have to try before she found the real thing that would take away Samson's strength? Do you know how many times? 4 times, that's all. 4 times. 1, didn't work. 2, didn't work. I'm holding up different colors of string, of thread here. The 3rd one almost worked. And on Samson, Delilah, the 4th try, Samson ended up being captured and losing his eyesight. And it was a disaster. A very bad disaster for Samson. And the devil works the same way with boys and girls. Do you know that, Lydia? The devil tries one thing and then another sin and another sin to try and get people to tie themselves up with the cords of their sins. Now, some of you boys and girls might be pretty strong. I want to do a little test. Compared to my big yellow rope, is this white thread pretty skinny? It's pretty skinny. Now, I am a big, strong man. I can break it. I want to see if some of you kids can break it. Who wants to try and break this string? All right, you try and break it. Oh, he's strong. He broke it. See how easy that was? Now, one of the other things that the devil does is that he gets us to practice sinning. Sin more and more and more. And in our verse it said, a man shall be held with the cords of his sins. That means there's more than one. Now maybe you just tell a lie. Just one lie. How easy is it to stop telling lies if you've only told one? How easy is it to break this string? Who wants to have me tie this string around their wrists as an example of telling just one lie, your very first lie? Okay, you put your wrists together. I'll tie them up, both of them together. Cross them over so I can get it on here. And I'm going to tie you up with just one string. Okay, can you break it? Oh, wasn't that easy? All right. Now we have a problem. We're going to have to deal with that after. Oh, you got it. Thank you. The thread was caught in her nice coat, and it wouldn't let go. And you know, sin may look nice, like my nice blue rope. I like this blue rope. And it might be that there's some sins that look really appealing to me, and they feel nice, and I think I'd want to do them. There are some times when I've been in a situation, and I don't tell lies. But next thing I know, the right situation, and I told a lie. See that? Nice white rope. What happens if you put more and more and more strings on somebody? More and more threads, they tell more lies. I'm going to try you with three lies, okay? Keep those sleeves pulled down. Because there's a sad, sad lesson that comes with this. Okay, so I'm going around once. There's your first lie. Here's your second lie. Oh, and I'm caught. Here's your third lie. Now what are we going to do? Three lies? Is it easy to tell three lies? Think about what Peter did. He told three lies. He said, I don't know Jesus. I don't know that man. Don't know who he is. Three lies. Okay. Try and break them. You did it. Was it a little harder? Yeah, a little harder. And a little more stuck in your coat, wasn't it? How many lies do you think I'd have to wrap around you before you couldn't break it at all? 10? Do you want to try 10? Okay, let's try 10. Let's try 10. And I picked you because you have nice long sleeves. 1, 2, 3. She's getting tied up just like these are more and more lies that she's telling. 4, 5. 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And now I have to tie a knot. You might still be strong enough to break that because you got these nice cushiony sleeves on. All right, you try that. You did it. Good for you. You know something? Last night, I was experimenting with this, and she was able to break the 10 strings. But eventually, you get to a point where there's enough strings, you can't get free. Just like it says, he shall die. He's going to go to destruction. And that's why the Lord Jesus came to give life and set you free, because he doesn't want people to perish and go to the lake of fire. Now, there's something about breaking free. Last night, when we were experimenting with these threads, I had a short sleeve shirt on, and my wife had a short sleeve shirt on. And if you look carefully at my wrist, do you see a mark right there? Can you see a mark on my wrist right there?
Yes.
Yeah. And if you look at my wife's wrist, you'll see she has a scab on her wrist just the width of a thread. And to break free from that sin, it cost my wife some blood last night. She was bleeding because the string cut her. You know, the devil makes sins look really appealing. This one is so nice and soft and blue. Not too many people would want to get tied up with this one because it looks mean and nasty and rough. But the devil doesn't start with one like that. He starts with the little, small, thin ones that you just think, I can break that, no problem. But he's deceitful, he's a liar. And he tries to snare you. And a man will be held with the cords of his sins. It's true of people who are not believers, and it's true of people who've trusted in the Lord Jesus. If you start giving in to sin, you'll get all tied up. And the only one that can truly set you free is the Lord Jesus Christ. So it cost pain for me and for my wife to break free last night from those sins. And it's much easier and much better not to get tied up in the first place, because it hurts. Sin is painful. Now there's one more thing that I want to go through with you. The devil is tricky. Have you ever seen your mom bake cookies? They smell nice, don't they, when your mom's cooking? As long as they don't stay in the oven too long. And then out of the oven comes a nice tray with four cookies on one direction and three cookies the other direction. How many cookies are on the tray? How many?
Seven.
Okay. Let's say there's seven cookies on that tray. Thank you. And you come into the kitchen and you smell the nice cookies. Does anybody have seven people in their family? A dad, a mom, and five kids? Unfortunately, not this morning. Well, you had seven? Yeah, yeah. So if you came into the kitchen, brother, you saw those seven cookies on the tray, and you wanted one, and you took one, how many would be left?
Six.
Six. Oh, now there's only six cookies left. So you know what you do next? Did you have permission to take that cookie? It was probably for supper, right? Now there's only six. What are you going to do? You know what you do? You take those cookies. But first of all, you sinned, right? So let's let the red one be that sin. You took a cookie that didn't belong to you. You got one sin wrapped around you. The next thing you do is you take those six cookies that are left and you spread them out on the tray and you hope that mom doesn't notice that there's only six. Right? So you're trying to deceive your mom. That's the purple thread. That's a different sin. And then it comes to supper time. Your mom's been busy. She gets out the cookies and she looks at them and she quickly realizes there's not seven, there's six. Does that mean everybody gets a cookie? Somebody has to be without a cookie, right?
Right.
So mom looks right at you and she goes, "Did you take the cookie?" What are you going to say? You know what the first answer that comes to your mind probably is? Not me. There's another one. Another one. It's a lie. So you see that? In just this few minutes, you stole a cookie, you tried to hide it, and you told a lie. So there was three things wrapped around your wrists right there. And the devil got you to steal the cookie in the first place. You gave in. And then your conscience got to you. So you started to try and cover it up. And then when you were asked about it, you told a lie. And that's what happens with sin. It goes from bad to worse. It's not just one, usually another one and another one. Now there's a verse in Proverbs chapter 28. And verse 13, look it up, because that's the one we're going to stop with. In my little story, you stole a cookie, and then you shuffled them around so nobody'd notice, and then you told a lie. Now I need somebody to read this verse. Proverbs 28. Anybody ready? Okay, Paul?
Which chapter was it?
Proverbs 28.
Oh, I thought it was that verse.
Somebody remind me what verse I said it was. 13, thank you. Proverbs 28:13.
He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy.
Thank you, Paul. So the mistake in the first place was committing the sin. The second sin was trying to cover it up. And what does this verse tell me to do? What's the right thing? After that cookie was gone, what should you have done? Gone to your wife and told her, I just took a cookie and I shouldn't have taken a cookie. I'm sorry. That's confessing. But the second part is very important for believers. It's one thing to say, I took the cookie. Then you have to forsake it. And the next time your wife makes cookies and you go into the kitchen and there's only seven, you leave the cookies alone. You go somewhere else where you won't smell the cookies to avoid that temptation. And that's very important for us as Christians. If we do start to get tied up by our sins, that we go to the Lord Jesus and confess our sins to Him, and we forsake them. We do everything we can to avoid them in the future. So let me summarize what we've been talking about. Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and was buried and was raised again the third day, according to the Scriptures. That's the gospel message. People who don't know the Lord Jesus as their Savior are dead in trespasses and sins. They're held with the cords of their sins. And what do they need? They need life. You get life by believing in the Lord Jesus. And then He sets you free. The cords are gone. And you can serve Him. It's wonderful. But we have to be careful that we don't let the devil snare us into more sins, no matter how pretty they look like my nice blue rope, or how small they look like the little thin threads, because sin brings sin and suffering, caused me pain and my wife pain, and only the Lord can set us free. But what's the right thing to do if you sin? Confess. If you sinned against your mother, your father, your brother, confess to them. Confess to the Lord Jesus and forsake those sins in the power of the Holy Spirit. So, what can wash away my sins? I'm going to sing it, we'll all answer. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. All right. Thank you very much for listening. If any of you have questions about what we've talked about this morning or want to be free from your sins and have life in Christ, please feel free to talk to me or your parents or somebody else that knows the Lord Jesus as Savior. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we come to you now and ask for thy blessing on these children, on everyone who heard the gospel message, that they might come to you, Lord Jesus, and be set free from their sins, to be given life, to be able to live and serve you and have a relationship with you. We ask you, Lord Jesus, for your blessing in thy precious and worthy name. Amen.